You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
You know, Sister Lisa, while you're getting hooked up there this morning, in this season of the year when so many people are excited about getting presents, there is a presence.
Yes.
In this house.
Amen.
That money can't buy, that no one can afford. There's nothing you can do to earn it.
Yep.
But it was brought and given unto those who take time.
Amen.
I thank God for church where we can come in, bring him with us, get into a mortified body, feel his presence even greater. We have so very, very much to be thankful for today.
Yes, we do. Amen.
I'm so thankful for the presence of God that sustained us. It's the greatest gift there could ever be.
Yes.
Amen. No greater present than his presence. Amen. Hallelujah. I wouldn't trade it for all the money in the world, all the fanciest cars, all the biggest titles. Amen. Hallelujah. There's nothing like the presence of God in your life and in your heart, in your home, in your children, in your family, in everything that you do. Amen. The presence of God that's with us. What an incredible opportunity that we have. What a great, incredible gift we have received. Amen. You know, and I was thinking as we were singing, it's not even just about the baby in the manger, but we know what that baby came to do. He came that I might have life.
Yes.
And that I can have an abundant life.
Yes.
That I might have life more abundantly. Not just not just be alive, not just get through, not just skim by, but he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. How many are thankful this morning for the abundant life in God that we can have? An abundant life doesn't have to be measured by bank accounts. Amen?
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. It's not measured by bank accounts. It's measured by the abundance of life in your heart. Amen? The greatest gift of all, the greatest things that we can receive. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been sharing the last couple of weeks on Elizabeth and Mary, and the arrival, the announcement of the angel Gabriel, hallelujah, who steps by, and just to sum up, you know, maybe to give you a clip of what we've been talking about and jump into where we're going to take off this morning. We've been talking about, you know, that the children of Israel in that period had been about a 400-year space or beyond without the word, spoken word of a prophet or the prophetic voice. Amen. No real word from God, no real annunciation, no real declaration of anything that's happening. Amen. You know, we sometimes look in our own little worlds and our own country and our own government and things like that, and we question things. But how many are thankful that you hear from God?
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
We can hear from God daily. Amen.
Absolutely.
And I said before that 4 minutes without Him, 4 days without Him, 4 weeks, 4 months, 4 years without the voice of God in your life would be way too long, but 400 years is an unbearable place to be in. Amen.
Amen.
That's what we call the dark ages.
Amen.
Silent period where God's not speaking. And I don't know if it's so much that God's not speaking or just nobody has an ear tuned to what He's saying. Amen? Because God's always speaking. But they went through a period of time where they knew the prophetic word. They knew what the prophet Isaiah had declared, what Micah had prophesied, what Malachi had said. The last thing that he had heard, that he would send somebody that would come in the spirit of Elijah. And that he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the heart of the children to the fathers, and all of the promises that they had, and yet it seemed like everything lay dormant for a time and for a season. However, there's a just man by the name of Elizabeth who does not cease to go to the house of the Lord, that even in those quiet times, there are still those who are righteous men and women who stood and said, I'm going to go to the house of the Lord. I'm going to pray like I've always prayed. I'm going to praise like I've always prayed, because maybe today is the day that God's going to begin to turn some things around. And how many know, in the midst of prayer and praise and worship, as they begin to ascend unto God, there's an angel Gabriel that stands on the right hand of the altar of incense and says, Zechariah, I got some good news to tell you today.
Come on.
I have heard your prayer.
Yeah.
I have heard your prayer. Hallelujah. I mean, no, it's good news. It's a good thing to find out that God has heard your prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. And as he began to speak to Zechariah, he said, "And I've chosen you to bring to pass the things that I have declared and I have prophesied from the ages. I'm going to begin at your house." How many know God needs somebody willing to say, "Lord, go ahead and just start with my house if you want to. Go ahead and start with my womb. Go ahead and start with my heart. Go ahead and start right in the middle of my prayers and praise and incense unto God. If you want to do something big in the earth, God, go ahead and start right here, right in my house, right in my town. Go ahead and start in my community to do something to bring to forth, to bring to pass the word of God that you prophesied." Hallelujah. How many know it's not always to say, "Okay, Lord, bring it on."
Come on.
It's not always easy to say, "Start here with me, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Whatever your will, whatever it is, your purpose is, bring it to pass." Hallelujah. How many know it left Zechariah speechless?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, there's many times in my life where God leaves me speechless. Right. When I don't really know how to explain what's going on. I don't know how to tell it about it. I don't know how to declare. Anybody ever had something in your spirit you said, "I don't know how to get this out. I don't know how to share it or bring it out, but I know God is up to something big." Yes. Sister Jenny, there is a presence like we've not experienced, I believe, even in the house in the last couple weeks. There is a presence, an anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit that we preached about last week, that when Mary and Elizabeth came together, I'm telling you, there is something about coming together in the house of the Lord that makes your baby leap and makes you want to begin to speak in tongues, and the Holy Ghost came all over Elizabeth and that baby and John the Baptist and Mary, and they had a Holy Ghost hoedown and said, "I don't know what God is up to, but God is up to something big, and he started right here in our little town and in our little church and with some people of humble beginnings, but God's got something big in store from people who seem like they were nobodies. God is in the midst of doing something great big." Hallelujah. And so while they're waiting and anticipating the presence of God, and God begins to do something, the scripture tells us that Mary is overshadowed by the same, and she has a visitation from the same angel, and she didn't dare say, "How can this," she didn't question like Zechariah did, because Zechariah gets left speechless. She says, "How can this thing be, seeing I know not a man?" Aren't you glad that what God is doing in this day and this hour is not about a man? It's not about the man in the White House. It's not about the man in Congress. It's not about the man in this house. It's about what God wants to do by the power and overshadowing of the Holy Spirit that's so much bigger and so much greater than anything we can do in our own self. Aren't you just glad when the Holy Ghost takes over in situations that you don't know how to handle and you don't know how to proceed in, but when the Holy Ghost takes over, something big is about to happen. Hallelujah. And he overshadows Mary, and Mary says, "I got to get to somebody who's feeling the same Holy Ghost goosebumps that I'm feeling. I got to find somebody whose spirit's being stirred like my spirit's being stirred. I got to find somebody who's hearing the same thing from God that I'm hearing." And when I find him, there is a connection in this and the spirit that causes the baby inside me to leap. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm in the right place at the right time. I know that God has sent me to this house and to this time for such a time as this. And as she stays in that house with Elizabeth, I can only imagine the conversation that's going on between Mary and Elizabeth, thinking, "Man, I've heard about this. I've heard this read in the temple. I've heard the prophecies. I've heard this declared. But did you ever think in your wildest dreams, Mary, it was going to be you and me that God was going to choose, that he takes somebody off a rotten row, or that he calls somebody out of the house of an alcoholic, or that he would call somebody from the nowheres that were nobodies, that used to sing on their back porches, or used to stand and say, 'Man, I wish I could see the world,' or 'I wish I knew what was outside there,' only to know that the world was here and God was about to expand our world and say, 'I'm going to do something incredible,' and all I need is somebody to stand up and say, 'Lord, be it unto me according to your word,' because whatever you got purposed in my life, it's for greatness."
Yep.
It's for greatness. Hallelujah. And God doesn't ever do anything something in your house just to touch your house. Can I tell you, if He's doing something in your house, it's to touch the nations of the world. It's to touch the communities. It's to touch other places and other hearts. Hallelujah. That God can begin in somebody's heart, somebody who's willing to say, be it unto me, Lord.
Yep.
According to your word. And I believe Mary purposes in her heart and says, I am not going back home until I embrace and hold in my lap and in my arms that baby that was prophesied, the one that would come in the spirit of Elijah. I'm going to hold that baby before I go back home. And when I go back home, it doesn't matter what Joseph thinks. It doesn't matter what mama or daddy thinks. It doesn't matter what my community thinks. It doesn't matter if they want to bring me out and stone me, because I've done held in my hand the promise of God, and you can't take from me what I've already embraced and what I already know to be the word of God. What I already know to be true. You can't take from me what I've already got a hold of. Can you say amen this morning? Some of you are going to have to say, I got a hold of something today, and I'm not going to let it go, and it doesn't matter what anybody else has to say. I've done held it. I've done embraced it. I've done seen it, and I don't know where all it's going to go from here, but I'm going to tell you, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to birth something divine today. I'm going to bring forth whatever God has purposed in my heart. Hallelujah. Because He has looked on the lowly estate of this handmaiden, and from generations are going to call me blessed. Go ahead and call me blessed today, because the hand of the Lord is in our life and in our hearts and in our homes. You might as well go ahead and call yourself blessed. Quit calling yourself anything else. Quit trying to name it after somebody else. Call it John. Call it the grace of God. Call me blessed, but don't call it anything that God hasn't called it. Hallelujah. We spend way too much time calling ourselves everything else except what God has called us. And God has called you blessed. If He said you're salt, then you're salt. If He said you're light, then you're light. If He said you're blessed, you're blessed. If He said you're blessed going out and you're blessed coming in, then you stand up and declare, all nations are going to call me blessed. Hallelujah. You can't take from you what you've already embraced, what you already seen with your own eyes, and what you already know to be true. Hallelujah. This is an exciting day, and it's an exciting time, and it's an exciting season. Hallelujah. Keep your ears tuned. Keep your eyes open. Hallelujah. Because there's still some prophetic messengers. There's still a declaration on. There's still a declaration from the heavens that says, and there were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over some flock by night. And while you may look around and seem that think that it may look like a dark season in our day and in our hour, there are some shepherds keeping watch over the flock by night. And can I tell you that those shepherds were not just keeping watch over any sheep. They were keeping watch over the temple sheep. They were temple shepherds, and those sheep were all lined up for there to be used as temple sacrifice. And while they sat there with them little furry lambs beside of them, the heavenly host lights up the sky and says, I just want to tell you that the perfect Lamb of God is just about to be laid in a manger in Bethlehem, and He looks a whole lot like a blue-eyed little baby boy, and He's wrapped up in swaddling clothes. But I come to tell you, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, He has arrived.
Yeah, He has.
Go now.
Yes.
Go right now and see this thing which has come to pass. I come to tell you today, whatever you're looking at or whatever you're thinking about or whatever you're going through, it has come to pass.
Yes.
It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. Hallelujah. And so this is an exciting time. As I was pondering the scriptures, I would say last night, but all week as I was pondering the scriptures, go ahead and go to Isaiah 7 and 14 for me. And I just want to jump in for a few minutes this morning and share with you. We've been talking about Elizabeth, and we've been talking about Mary. And I know how to relate to those a little bit because I'm a woman. But I want to talk a little bit about Joseph. I mean, Joseph's in a little bit different position that Mary and Elizabeth are. I mean, when you feel the baby inside of you, you know there's something in there.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many know Joseph didn't experience it in the same way that Mary did?
Amen.
Always God's a word and a dream and a promise. Joseph's engaged. He's getting ready to have a wedding. Somewhere there is an engagement period of about a year space and time. And while they're in that space of time, there is a legal agreement with their families that they will be married at the end of that. There's some preparation that take place during that time. One thing is Joseph's supposed to build a house for his wife to live in, so that at the end of that year's time, he can come and get her and take her back to his house. While she's waiting on him to build that house and come to get her, she is making an embroidery cloth. We'll cover this maybe a little bit more last Sunday. I wasn't really going to cover it this morning, but she's making a cloth. And that cloth is called a swaddling band. And that swaddling band, and it's embroidered cloth, and it's embroidered with the genealogy of the house that's about to be wed. I mean, Jesus came out of the tribe of Judah, so there's probably a good chance that it had the line of the tribe of Judah on there. And it's a good chance that it had some history. And what would happen when they would come together, they would wrap that swaddling band around the arms of those two beloved people who are about to get married and were about to be joined together. And they would say, our families are being joined together as one. This is our history. This is our genealogy. And then they would save that swaddling band, and I'll bet you can guess what that swaddling band is going to be used for. They're going to wrap up that first brand new baby.
Come on.
With that swaddling band. And that swaddling band says, this baby's not illegitimate. But it belongs to the tribe of the line of the tribe of Judah. It is a legitimate child. And this is our baby. That's how you mark it. He says, shepherds, when you go, you're going to find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes.
Yeah.
And laying in a manger. So that when you get there, just in case there's been any other baby born on that time, when you get there, you're going to know him, because he's going to be wrapped up in swaddling clothes. And the lion of the tribe of Judah is going to lay in a manger in Bethlehem. And you're going to see this baby when you get there. So while all these things are happening, come to pass, all of a sudden there's a little glitch in the program. Because Mary gets a visitation from an angel. And the angel says to her, Mary, you are highly favored. The Lord is with thee. And you're going to bring forth the Messiah. And Mary's thing to them is, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel says to her, this thing is not of man, but it's going to be of the Holy Spirit. Because you're going to be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And that holy thing which shall be done in you is going to be of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. In other words, it is a divine, heavenly thing that's being done in you. It does not need man to bring it to pass. But God Himself will bring to pass the promise in your life. Now, the Scriptures don't tell us order that she, the Scripture in Luke says she immediately gets up and goes to Elizabeth. Yeah. We don't know if she tells Joseph before she goes or when she comes back. My guess is she waits till she gets back from Elizabeth and says, I've done embraced the prophet Elijah, the one who will come in the spirit of the power of the prophet of Elijah. I've already embraced him. And Joseph, regardless of what you think of this, this is a heavenly thing. This is a divine thing that God is doing.
Yeah.
And so Joseph has two choices right now. He can say to her, you are guilty of adultery while we are engaged. Therefore, I can bring you to the court of the elders, and my family can stone you to death for being unfaithful before our time of coming together in our espousal period. But the Scripture tells us that Joseph, being a just man, and we'll pick up there, says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. And let's just read a little bit of the account of Joseph. The first part of the book of Matthew, for those of you who've been in the Wednesday night Bible study, remember that it is the genealogy of Christ, but it's not the complete genealogy. It begins with the patriarchs and goes through the lineage of Joseph. It begins with Abraham, but when you go over into the genealogy in the book of Luke, it goes all the way back to son of Adam, son of God. Hallelujah. And so the first part tells us the genealogy of Christ. If you look at it, there's some characters in there. The only women who are mentioned usually had a past or a history. So I got good news for you this morning. If you got a past or you got some history, you're in a good place today. God's got purpose for your life. God's got calling on your life. How many know Tamar makes it in there?
Come on.
Rahab the harlot makes it in there. Bathsheba makes it in there.
Yep.
Ruth the Moabitess makes it in there. It's interesting to me that Sarah doesn't make it. Lee and Rachel don't make it. Hannah doesn't make it. None of those women. Esther, she doesn't make it. You know, if I perish, I perish. She don't make it, but Tamar does. Rahab does. Bathsheba does. Hallelujah. How many know God wasn't afraid? God's not afraid of your mess today.
No, He's not.
Hallelujah. And God can take something out of nothing. Don't raise your hands in here this morning, but some of you got some nuts in your family tree. Some of you got some crazy people in the closets. I told you, Murray, not to raise your hand. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes this time of year it gets a little bit crazy.
Come on.
Am I the only one in here this morning? Sometimes it gets a little bit crazy.
Yeah,
it does. Hallelujah. I mean, God's not scared of your mess.
No, He's not.
God's not scared of your craziness, because what you think you may label these women, let me tell you what, they were women who stood up and said, I'm going to save my household.
Yeah.
I'm going to save my genealogy. I'm going to save my generations. Uh-huh. Rahab said, I have heard of you. We knew you all were coming. We have heard of your God. We have been more convinced than you that your God is going to give you our city. And therefore, I'm going to risk my life by hiding you in my house. But the only thing I'm going to ask you is when you come back and when your God gives you victory over this city, I'm going to put a scarlet line in my window. I'm going to hang up a sign that says, I've been touched by the blood. I got the blood of Jesus Christ applied to the doorpost of my house. And what she does, she goes out, he said, bring in everybody into your house that you do not want to be left behind, or you do not want them to suffer the fate of this city. And the scripture says she gets everybody in her house and she brings them in the house and said, you've got to get in the house. And when you get in the house, we're going to hang a scarlet line in the window that every one of my household is going to be saved. Let me say to you today, if you got the guts of Rahab, you want to stand up and say, I'm going to bring into the house everybody that I want saved alive. How many know she had some tenacity. She had some guts to say, I'm going to risk myself.
Yep.
That my family might be saved and that your God may be victorious over my city. Tamar does what she does not because she's a wicked city woman, but because she wants to continue the lineage of the generations that was promised to her. And she said, you have not fulfilled your end of the covenant. Therefore, I will fulfill what has been promised to me. How many know Tamar had something in her genes that she produced out of her lineage?
Yep.
The Messiah comes out of a woman named Tamar that says, I will not settle for what has been handed to me, but I will perform that which. And she causes twins to be born, and those twins are in the lineage of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yep.
Ruth had to get up out of Moab and say, I'm going to get up out of this country that I'm in. She was in a place of idolatry and wickedness, and it had left her unfruitful and barren and distraught and in distress. And Ruth and Naomi said, stay here, go back to your families. I cannot give you anything else out of my womb. If I was to raise up children today, I could not give you anything more. And Orpah goes back. But Ruth says, whither thou goest, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. And she stands and goes with Naomi until she goes into a land. And by hap, or by chance, or by direct divine direction of the Holy Ghost, she ends up in a field of a man named Boaz, who is her near kinsman redeemer, who gets his eye on her and realizes who she is and takes her in to redeem her unto himself. How many know there is no Book of Orpah?
Come on.
No, there isn't.
Come on.
Come on.
Amen.
Orpah goes back to her people. And there is no Book of Orpah. But there is a Book of Ruth. Hallelujah. And so we understand the genealogy. And we understand that Joseph and Mary both are in that genealogy. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was engaged, espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, which he could have, and Deuteronomy 24 and 1, was minded to put her away privily or secretly. In other words, he was just going to abandon or put her away from him without disgracing her. But, that word but means behold, unfolding truth. That's what it is. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Savior. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, and we just read it, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. While he's pondering these things, while he's going through his options, the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, this thing which is done in her is of the Holy Ghost. It's something divine. It's real. It's alive. I mean, you know, sometimes all you got is a dream and a promise. If you got a dream and a promise, that's enough. While he's pondering things, God gives him a dream. Hallelujah. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. He calls him son of David. I think he's snapping his mind back. He said, Joseph, you are the son of David. Remember the promises. Remember the promises. Remember what's been foretold. Remember what's been declared. And the angel says, call his name Jesus, for he shall be great and save his people from their sins. And his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us.
Amen.
No more silence. No more darkness. No more period of time where God's not saying anything. All of a sudden, it's God with us. Aren't you glad today that it's God with us, for us, and in us? Hallelujah. God with us, God is for us, and God is in us today. You don't have to worry about silent periods. You don't have to worry about there not being anything spoken. How many know the Spirit itself will lead and guide you, will speak to you the power of God that was this in us, within us. Hallelujah. Is mighty. Hallelujah. When you have nothing but a decree or God's promise and a dream, go with it. You know, there's many of us in here today that have dreams. Promises. Hallelujah. Anybody in here got a dream? Anybody allow yourself to dream big in here today?
Yeah.
To say, you know what, there's some big things yet in store for my life.
Yep.
I mean, you know, Zechariah and Elizabeth, the scripture says, were well stricken in years. They were of an older age. And how many know God was just getting started in their life? So we're not taking any excuses in this house this evening or this morning. Don't be telling me my best days are behind me. I'm here to tell you your best days are still ahead of you. If you're just allowed allow God to do open up and do something incredible inside you. It doesn't have to be about the strength you have inside of you anyway. It's about what God can do inside of you. Hallelujah. And there's some of you that's just getting started. There's some of you, I mean, no, Joseph's right in the middle of having some family problems, some crisis, some relationship problems. There's some things going on in his house that he's not too sure about. But he's got a dream and a promise. He's got a visitation from an angel that said, don't be afraid, Joseph. Don't be afraid. Because I'm going to do something great in you. How many know sometimes you're going to have to follow your dreams? You're going to have to take your dream and your promise and put them together and say, God, if I've dreamed it, if I dare to dream it, and I dare to believe it, you can bring to pass the promise of God in my life. Hallelujah. It may seem out of bounds to you. It may seem beyond your reach and beyond measure. Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking the other day, we look at people and think, well, this one doesn't have ability or that one doesn't have ability, and how could God do this or that? How many know greatness is everywhere you look?
Yes, it is.
If you are living and breathing, you have the potential to be something beyond your own recognition or your comprehension. You know, I've told you before, when I look at the kids in my class, I think somebody, you know, those presidents in the White House had to go through somebody's kindergarten class. They had to sit in somebody's churches. They had to be in somebody's family. They had somebody's mom and dad had to tell them you're destined for greatness, or give them opportunity, or not be dream crushers and say, if you can dream it, you can have it. If you can believe it, you can see it. Hallelujah. I mean, no, I'm just all right with if there's a president comes out of my classroom, or the next scientist that comes out of this house or this assembly, or the next rocket to wherever it goes, to the moon or whatever, that somebody I know creates it or sends it up there. I'm okay with somebody I'm connected with dreaming some big dreams and causing some great things to happen today. And so I'm going to tell you, if you got a dream in your heart, dream your dream. Don't let anybody squelch your dream. And don't ask opinions of everybody else, because how many know everybody else around you going to say, Joseph, this thing don't happen like that.
Come on.
Joseph, we need to have a talk.
Hallelujah.
How are you going to afford it? How are you going to finance it? How are you going to make it come to pass? I mean, no, you get a dream and everybody's got questions for you. How are you going to pay? That ain't never going to work.
Come on.
Praise God.
Sometimes, you know what happens with Joseph? He dreams a dream.
Yes, he did.
He shares it with his family. First mistake he made, don't share it with your family.
Yeah, everybody but.
How many of those in his own house were his biggest critics? They were his first dream crushers.
They are.
And then he dreams another dream, and guess what he does? He tells his family again. He ends up in a pit, they sell his clothes, and he ends up down in Egypt.
Yeah.
I mean, no, they did not have the ability to stop that dream. Because I'm a firm believer that when Joseph looks out and finally his brethren have come down to Egypt and they need corn, now all of a sudden I got the upper hand. All of a sudden I can take vengeance. They sold me out, put me in a pit, took my coat of many colors, told my dad I was dead. And now they need corn for more Egypt.
Yes,
good thing it wasn't us.
There is a God.
Come on.
There is a God.
But you know what he does?
Come on, he shows grace.
He turns around and he cries. I don't think he's fighting back vengeance.
No.
No, he
doesn't. I don't think he's just overwhelmed to see his brothers he hadn't seen forever. He turns around and weeps, and he said, I knew when I dreamed that dream that I was not crazy. I knew that I dreamed that dream. I knew God gave me that dream, and I knew I wasn't crazy.
Come on.
I made it to the palace. I am second in command of Pharaoh, but all of that is nothing if the promise of God does not come to pass in my life. And today, I'm standing here looking at, and those sheaves of wheat are bowing down to me.
Come on, preacher.
And And for the first time in my life, I know I'm not crazy.
Amen.
I know God has fulfilled every promise in my life and every path He's taken me, every dungeon I've sit in, every false word that's ever been spoken against me. Here I stand in the place that God has brought me to, and He has fulfilled my dreams. My prayer is I can come to the place in my life when I stand there and say, God, that was the dream You gave me, and I have seen it come to pass by the hand of God, and every negative voice or every negative hand that was ever against me has at this time been silenced. And that is my dream come to pass. Some of you got dreams in here today and they look like they have gone astray. They look like they've gone awry. It looks like you can't finance them. Look like you can't get there. Looks like it ain't going to come to pass. I'm telling you, you keep dreaming your dream. Don't you let up. Don't you ease up. Don't you give up on what God has promised you, because His promises are yes and amen. Hallelujah. Joseph dreamed a dream. And he had a promise. And he went on it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he went on it. I mean, sometimes all God needs is our obedience. What we do most of the time is talk ourselves out of it.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. It just don't make logical sense. How many know most of the time God doesn't make logical sense?
That's the truth.
That's all right.
Amen.
Because you're trying to do it with your logic.
Come on.
Can I tell you that the scripture says His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. What you think is logical?
Amen.
Sometimes we need to step out of our box. And I'm not saying do crazy things, you know. You got to know what the promise of God is in your life. I mean, if God's spoken something to you, you can go to the bank on it.
Amen.
If God's given you the dream, you don't have to worry about how to finance it. You don't have to worry about how to make it come to pass. If God has declared it over your life, promised it to you, and spoken it in you, let Him bring it to pass out of you. That's what the Holy Ghost does. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the work of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hebrews says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God with us. Emmanuel. Hallelujah. In Matthew 28 it says, let me back up. Go ahead, go to Romans 8, 31 through 39. God for us. If God be for us, if God be for us,
come on.
Say it one more time. If God be for us,
who can be against us?
Hallelujah. I mean, you don't need everybody on your side. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, when the prophet, Elisha's prophet goes out, and he's out, I don't know, washing his face, brushing his teeth, whatever it is out there, and he happens to look up in the middle of it, and lo and behold, the host of the whole Syrian army, and he's camped about him and Elijah. That's a bad day.
Yeah.
And he said, alas, my master, what shall we do? And what does Elisha say to him? He says, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. See, what most of the time what our problem is a limited vision.
Come on.
Yes, indeed.
You got to see beyond what you see sometimes. He said, open his eyes. And he said, when he opened his eyes and camped all around about the obstacle was the whole host of heaven, hallelujah, that had it all under control. So see, what we're doing sometimes, we're looking as far as the obstacle. We're looking as far as only our limited vision of what we can see. And our cry is, alas, my master, what are we going to do?
Come on.
And Elijah just says, open his eyes, but he sees the bigger picture. Let him see beyond the obstacles of what he sees. Some of you are looking at some obstacles today. You're going to have to look again. You're going to have to look harder. You're going to have to look past what you think you see. Hallelujah. And when you see what the heavens have declared and what the heavens have in place for you, you're going to understand God's got this. He's got this under control. Hallelujah. So it's God with us. God in us. God for us. In Romans 8, 31 through 39. I can't read it on that, so I'll have to go over here. Romans 8. And it says, 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, Who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Man, we need to get persuaded today. I'm convinced. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many know there is no separation from the love of God? So what can separate you? Can tribulation, peril, nakedness, sword? What can separate you? Is there anything that can separate you? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through God. There is nothing that separates His love to us and to mankind. Not even your actions.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Not even your actions can separate His love. Because you know why? God is love. He can't operate out of anything but love. God is love. Does He deal with us in our actions? Sure He does. At least I hope He deals with all of you and not just me. Amen? I mean, if God deals with us, yeah, He does. But does it change our love for us?
No.
Not one bit. Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? Matthew 28 and 20 says, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age," or the end of the world. God with us. And lastly, God in us. Put up Galatians 2 and 20 for me. God with us. Emmanuel, God. Heaven in the earth. Heaven in the earth. God with us. Dwelling, living, residing, moving, operating with us. Hallelujah. A very present God. Not a distant God. Not a God behind a veil. Not a God in a box anymore. Not a God just in the temple or in the holy place. But God with us. The greatest present, the greatest presence we'll ever know is an Emmanuel God, a God with us. The greatest present you ever receive is the presence of His Holy Spirit, an indwelling, moving God within you. God with us. Hallelujah. Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Hallelujah. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the one who saved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Christ liveth in me. Not just a God for us. Not just a God with us, but a God in us. Hallelujah. A God in us. That's incredible to me today. An Emmanuel God.
Yes.
Wherever you go in this holiday season, guess what? It's Emmanuel.
Yeah.
God with us.
Yeah.
God in us. He said, I and my Father, we're going to come. In John 14, I believe it is, we're going to come and take up our abode in you. We're going to make you our house. We're going to make you our dwelling place. God with us. That's an incredible thing. Hallelujah. If you've got a dream and a promise today, trust God to bring to pass in your life and in your heart everything that He has promised that He would do. Don't look at circumstances. Don't try to figure it out. I mean, the scriptures say while Joseph is pondering these things in his heart, while he's trying to figure this out, trying to figure out the right thing to do. Because here's my thing. I think Joseph loves Mary.
Yes.
I think Joseph loves Mary. It wasn't, see, back then it could just have been an arranged marriage.
Yeah.
You know, it could be just a covenantal agreement between two tribes. That's how they did things a lot of time back then. Yeah. But I believe Joseph loves Mary. Hallelujah. And so while we're trying to figure things out and we're trying to sort it out and figure it all out in our mind, how many know God's got this? You got some dreams today? You got some past you're pursuing. You got some promises from God. You feel some callings. I had somebody say to me the other day, she said, "I feel like this is my calling." I said, "Then you want to follow that calling. If that's what you feel is your calling,
amen,
then you follow the calling of God in your life." Amen? Because whatever God has called you to, He will perform it. He will bring it to pass. And it's not by our might, nor by our power, but by His Spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. By His Spirit, says the Lord.
Yeah.
Robert, when I was getting ready this morning, you were the one that kind of came to my mind. And when the Lord spoke to me, He said, "If you got a dream and a promise, go with it. I know there's some dreams in your heart, and I know there's some promises. But more than anything, I love the stirring that I see God doing in your heart.
Yeah.
And I love your passion for God.
Yeah.
And I just want to stand with you in agreement for the dreams and the promises of God in your life to come to pass. Because God has big things in store for you.
Yeah.
You have a heart and you have a mind for God, but you have a talent for people and for business. And I just declare right now in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to bring to pass every promise, every dream in his heart and in his life, Lord, that you have placed there. Because if it's your promise, Lord, if it's your direction, you will bring it to pass, and you will bring it to pass with ease, Lord. And Lord, I even speak in the area of finances, God, that you will cause finances to flow. Lord, that even beyond the shadow of a doubt, that he will know, Father, that this is nothing but the hand of God that has so moved and brought to pass every promise that you've ever dreamed, he's ever dreamed, and every dream that he's ever dreamed, God, that you will bring to pass that which you've placed in his heart. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift your hands in here this morning. If you've got dreams in your heart, if you've got some promises, and you just want to see God fulfill some things in your life, say, "God, I receive right now. I receive. Lord, I present myself to you. It may seem crazy to everybody else, but to you, we're right on target. And Lord, I declare every dream in this house, Lord, every promise that's ever spoken, God, to bring to pass. Lord, every promise, every dream, Lord, that you will cause things to fall into place and that we'll stand back in amazement and say, God, this is nothing but the hand of God and the Almighty Spirit in my life. Be it unto me, Lord, according to your word." Whatever your word has purposed in my life, in my heart, and in my family, God, I receive it right now in Jesus' name. I receive your promises, Lord. I rekindle dreams. I rekindle promises this morning. Lord, I cause some people to believe where they've quit believing, God. I cause people to see the unseen where they've quit seeing, God. I cause people to see things different in a different light, even in this holiday season, God, that our eyes might be so engulfed with you, we don't see obstacles in the way, but we see the host of heaven camped around about us, God. Every situation and every heart in this place, God, we thank you for dreams that will come to pass in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. If you're in this house this morning and you don't know God, you've never received Him as your personal Savior, and you'd say, "Pastor Lisa, I just need to receive God. I want to receive all that He has for me. Hallelujah. I want to give my heart to God." We're just going to bow our head here for a moment, and we're just going to give you a moment. If there's anybody in here who says, "Lord, that I need to come forward. I need prayer. I need to receive salvation." Hallelujah. It is the greatest gift you'll ever receive. It is the greatest present, the greatest presence. Hallelujah. Lord, we don't want to dismiss or move, God, unless you are done. Lord, if you're touching hearts today.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If there be one, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your power, God. Hallelujah. Is there anyone in here who would say, "I need prayer today"? Hallelujah. I need to receive Jesus as my personal Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Jesus. We receive everything that you have for us today, God. Give us wisdom. Give us direction, God. Hallelujah. And let this be a season of divine encounter with the heavens, God, to do something exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. We bless you. We bless you, Lord.
You were talking about how the Lord met with Mary and Elizabeth, you know, and chose them out of all the multitudes. You know, I used to ask the Lord all the time why He chose Jack and I to do what we did. And He said, I said, you know, we're not educated or we're not wise or smart. He said, I don't choose the wise, the prudent. He chooses those that are willing and obedient. Yes. And we did have a dream. We had a vision. And I was just sitting here thinking, you know, Pap lived long enough to see his vision complete. Right. Not everybody can say that, but he did. Everything that God had showed him and everything that God had told him to do, he saw come to pass. And I thought, you know, from this little congregation, the word of the Lord from this church goes around the world.
Yes.
Every day it goes around the world, either by World Wide Web, either by TV, whatever. It goes around the world. And who would have thought that would happen to us? And I was thinking, you know, Sister Wilda and I almost went to jail for contempt of court because we wouldn't testify against somebody in the church. And when the lawyer took us back in the room and he said, well, girls, it looks like you're going to be held in contempt of court. He said, unless something drastic changes between now and the break. And Sister Will looked at me and she said, do you think they'll let me take my nightgown? I said, probably not. But I said, you don't have to do this. You can testify if you want to, and you can do whatever your heart says. You can go home. She said, I'm sticking with you.
Amen.
So I thought, you know, after that went all, they made a plea bargain and we didn't have to go to jail. But I thought about that. After that, we got together, and West Virginia did not have a law that protected the clergy. And so we got together with John Overington, the representative, and Church of Christ pastor in Martinsburg, and we came together and we wrote a law that covers clergy in West Virginia, passed the House and the Senate unanimously.
Glory.
Praise God. And now 13 other states have adopted our law. So from this little church, you know, not anything we could do.
Nothing.
Everything He did. Because I found in the scripture the answer to my question why God chose Jack and I. It's in the book of Corinthians, and He said, so that no man can glory.
Amen. Thank you.
No man can take the glory. And after that, I was satisfied. I didn't ask Him anymore. And I just praise God for what He's done with this local assembly,
yes,
and this people.
Amen. Yes.
And for good buddies that'll go to jail with you.
All the glory goes to Him. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. God will do the miraculous. Amen.